Today, let's talk financial advising, retirement and tax strategy. Where do you put your money? The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because today will help you build your legacy with the fire on the wall.
Welcome back to Fly on the Wall Finance. I am your co-host, Tony Shore, and I am here with our host, Jamie Malm. Jamie, how are you doing today?
I cannot complain. We were just talking about it being a little bit like fall weather here. We've got football back on our minds. That's what our family will be busy with here the next 4 months. So Can't complain.
Yeah. Well, me either. But football, I can't believe it's already football season. I want summer to last a little longer, but I do love football season, so I'm kind of torn.
It's good that they give us something exciting at the end of summer. Otherwise, we'd just be sad. So
that's true. That's right. It's something to look forward to, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
But you know what I'm looking forward to is finding out how much retirement income I really need.
Yeah, that's right. For most of us, retirement isn't about just this giant number. I remember those commercials where people carried around the orange number. I think that was Voya. It's really about lifestyle. And can we do the things that we want to do? Can we do the things that are meaningful to us? Can we spend time with the people that we want to spend time with? You know, the things that we dream about, or just making sure that I can pay my bills and don't have to stress and worry. We're going to break all that down today. We're going to talk about where that income comes from and then strategies to ensure the money lasts, because running out in retirement is one of the biggest fears people have and one of the most important aspects of creating that plan up front.
Yeah, and that is important. But what's the first step? Where do we start?
Well, I think we do have to define a number. Now, it doesn't have to be like this big lump sum number, but we have to think about what do we spend now? And that's usually an easier thing to think about than, well, how much you're going to need in retirement. Well, I don't know. What if I've asked that of somebody in the past, I usually get a blank stare and they're like, I don't have any idea. But if we look at what studies show for us Midwesterners, we're actually retirees are spending about $4,000 or less per month. And that's not quite as scary as some of these big six-figure totals that people are throwing around. So my best advice to start with is determine what you spend in today's dollars. Don't worry about inflation yet and what we're going to need yet, but create a budget. What are our expenses? What are our spending habits? And then we have to think about what's going to change. Will I still have a mortgage? Am I still going to have a car payment? Are there expenses associated with work that I'm not going to have anymore? Maybe that commute is significant enough that it's going to create a change in my budget. Those are the things that we've got to get a baseline for first.
Yeah. Well, and changes to expenses make sense. No more commuting costs, no more business suits, no lunches out every day when you're working. But you're going to probably trade that for more travel or healthcare or spending more on the grandkids, right?
Yep. That's exactly right. We start with our budget. We think about the things that are going to change. Debt is usually the thing that's going to have the biggest impact. We're probably going to have mortgage paid off. Maybe we're not going to have a car payment anymore. Maybe we have school loans still that we're paying on now, and we're not going to have that in the future. And then we want to start thinking about, well, what do we want to do in retirement? I think it's helpful to think about retirement in stages. We have early retirement where we're probably going to want to travel. We're going to focus on hobbies. We're going to do the things that we've been dreaming about doing. As we get a little bit older, that probably starts to level out a little bit. Our spending probably levels out a little bit. And then our latter years, we probably aren't as active. We're probably not traveling as much, but we might have higher healthcare needs. I've heard this referred to as the go-go years, the slow-go years, and the no-go years. So plan accordingly. It may mean that I feel really good the first 10 years of retirement. I feel great. I'm in my go-go years. I want more income in that time period to go do the things that I want to do. And so it doesn't have to be just this flat amount that doesn't work with your lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah. We have my wife and I have some friends that are snowbirds. They live in Minnesota, but they fly to Arizona every winter and they spend quite a bit of money. They did that for a long time. But now lately, they're just happy driving maybe an hour or two to watch a grandkids ball game. That's as much as they like to travel. So retirement does change as you get older.
Yep, it does. Right? And yeah. The other thing I think people think about is, oh gosh, that seems so overwhelming. I don't have enough to think about retirement. And that's not true. We can build retirement income even with small amounts. Now, it is true that the earlier we focus on that, the easier I would say that it is. Sure. But it's never too late, right? We can always find opportunities where we're at. If you are years out from retirement, then the thing I would start thinking about is building momentum. Compounding interest is an incredible thing. I think it was Einstein that actually referred to it as the eighth wonder of the world. And he went on to say, he who understands it earns it, and he who doesn't pays it. And if we stop and think about that, it's a good reminder about how saving over time benefits us and how debt, the one that pays it, really can make it difficult to build financial freedom. That debt aspect is a big topic, of course. And that's where I think people can feel like, I can't even focus on building for myself a retirement. I've got this debt that I have to pay off. Dave Ramsey has built this incredible empire over helping people get out of debt. And his philosophy, he refers to it as the snowball method, where you start with the smallest amount of debt, you pay that off, then you take that payment, you apply it to your next biggest balance. And that creates this momentum and motivation. I think that's more about mindset. Like, I feel good that I've paid something off, so I continue. Whereas the flip side of that, what you may hear from a financial advisor, isn't necessarily start with the smallest to the largest, but start with the highest interest rate.
Yeah.
Starting with the highest interest rate first obviously makes more mathematical sense, but whatever it is, focus on getting that debt paid off. But we can't ignore at the same time that we have to start building for ourselves. So even just a 401k match, don't ever turn away free money. At the very least, if you're like, I got to get back on track or I've got to get started, don't give up the free money. Contribute at least the match. And then those frequent, steady contributions instead of just one lump sum, those really add up over time.
Yeah. I mean, I knew somebody, a teacher, who was putting $50 a paycheck into their 403B. And, you know, it's not a lot, but 30 years later, when she was ready to retire, that account, it was over six figures. And it was a good, healthy six figure account. And so that's great. And my daughter has been putting $300 a month into an IRA, Roth IRA. And so she's building that. She started doing that when she was 21. By the time she's 65, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I think it's fun to show kids the power of compounding interest.
Yeah.
We have, separate from Iron Horse Financial, we have Iron Horse Properties. And so we have rentals that we own, and our kids get paid for doing, you know, they mow, they clean, they paint. And so where they used to ask all the time, like, can I have $20? Can I, you know, $50? Can I have $100 to go shopping? They want to know, can you add this to my account? Because they like to see, I put $100 in, that compounded, plus I got investment gains, and you know, maybe they only deposited 6,000 over the last couple of years, but they've got over 10,000 in the bank. So it's really cool to see kids get excited about that.
Yeah.
And the sooner you do it, the more that compounding interest can work for you. But like I said, it's never too late. You always have opportunity in front of you. You just have to take advantage of building that momentum and then planning accordingly for what you'll have.
Yeah. People don't need to wait until they have more. They just need to start now, and is what you're saying, right?
Yeah. I think the automation that we have access to now, setting it up on direct deposit,
yeah,
that helps. It takes the emotion out of things. It takes the, I have to go actually take this out of my account and go deposit it. Just have it come out before you ever get paid. You don't see it. You probably won't even notice that it wasn't there. It keeps you disciplined and keeps that consistency. And you'll be amazed at what a small amount done consistently, maybe it's a certain amount a week, maybe it's a certain amount a month, but that really, really adds up.
Yeah. So let's talk about, once you're in retirement, where does the income actually come from? I mean, that's a big part of what you do and a big part of what people need help with. Where is that income actually going to come from then?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the general consensus, I don't know, maybe oversimplifying it, but I think a lot of people think, well, I have this lump sum amount, now I'll just start withdrawing from it. And that's a little too overly simplified, right? So there are some classic strategies on how we take what you've accumulated and we start to transition from the accumulation phase of your financial life into the distribution phase of your financial life. So once you've stopped earning a paycheck, now I have to start generating a paycheck for myself. And that can be kind of scary, but there are multiple ways to do it. When we put together income plans, we have several things that we look for that we say are pretty hard and fast rules for what we're going to create for people. One, we believe income should be guaranteed. It shouldn't be something that you can outlive. I don't want to put together an income plan and then go, oh gosh, well, but don't live past 79 or we're going to be in trouble. We want you to be able to live to be 120. That income source is coming no matter what. The other rule that we have is that income shouldn't be reliant upon sources that are subject to market loss. So if our sole source of income is from an account that can go up and down with the markets, we don't want that. And then the last rule is that it has to keep pace with inflation. You've got to have a way to give yourself a pay increase. So those are the main rules. And then, of course, there are multiple ways that we can do that. Right. You and I have talked a little bit about annuities in the past. That would be one of the first things that we look at.
Sure. So yeah, annuities, I mean, you can get an annuity, like a fixed index annuity with an income rider that will pay you out an income that you can't outlive, right?
You can. Annuities are not created equal, right? There are all these different types of annuities, even within one certain type, like a fixed index, like you mentioned, there are, gosh, I don't even know. I was going to say hundreds of carriers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can't even imagine how many carriers distribute annuities. And then you have all the products that each carrier distributes. So there are lots of types. My recommendation, if you are going to look for an annuity, is to work with an independent financial advisor that has access to all of those carriers. We don't want somebody who, well, I can only sell products offered by this company or these few companies. And you want somebody who's going to be very transparent with all of the options that you have for annuities and how and why they chose that particular product with that particular company to fit your needs. Because there's a lot that goes into that decision for annuities.
Yeah, annuities are a big one, but the pros and cons, you have to look at everything and make sure it fits your particular situation. And I know that you help people figure that out, and you're only going to recommend what is in their best interests, right?
Right, yep. So that's part of being the fiduciary, where we've got a legal responsibility to only act in our client's best interest. That is above a suitability standard, which states you simply have to choose something that is suitable. There's all kinds of things that could be suitable, but not necessarily the best choice for that client.
Right.
The other option, so outside of annuities, which is a great way to take a lump sum of money and then generate this guaranteed income stream. That's kind of the gist of using annuities for income. The other thing that we look at, and this is what most people I think are generally familiar with, is, well, I'll just take steady income or systematic withdrawals out of my investment account, which is certainly possible. And we do this sometimes, but it's not without sequence of returns risk, which most people probably aren't overly familiar with. It simply means that you could average a 6% return over the next 20 years, but the order in which you get your returns each year can have a huge impact on if you maintain your account balance or if you completely deplete it. And if you're pulling money out of an investment account that is also having a loss because of market volatility, well, now the markets are down and I've pulled my income out, I start digging a hole that's almost impossible to dig myself out of. So we show that in detail for every client that has an income plan with us. We do not want anybody to fall prey to sequence of returns risk.
Right. Yeah, that's when you withdraw it, makes a big difference, doesn't it?
It does. And then finally, bond ladders obviously have been around forever. Yeah. CD ladders. We do laddering too with all kinds of assets. So it could be a combination of annuities or systematic withdrawals or bonds, but we ladder it. And laddering it simply means you're staggering maturities or staggering when something is going to generate income. So you create that predictable income stream.
Yeah. Yeah. And I knew somebody who sold their business and had this big sum of money to retire. And they went out and used that ladder strategy. They got a mix of annuity income and investment withdrawals. And now if the market's bad, he can still take a trip without worrying about the market because he has other sources. And I'm glad to hear that's how you work with your clients, right?
Yeah, that's key. It's a great example that you shared. Most people need more than one stream of income. And we start with what's going to be the foundation of somebody's income. Typically, that's Social Security. Even if you're somebody that thinks, well, I don't know if Social Security is going to be there. We start with what do we know the baseline is. And then we still have some people that have pensions, believe it or not. We still run into some pensions. So we start with what do we know the sources of income are going to be? Maybe that's renting out farm ground. Maybe it's like us, people that have real estate, it's going to be rental income. But eventually you get to or you might, if you're thinking about how am I going to generate income, you're worried about the gap. And the gap is the difference between what I know is coming in, like from Social Security or my guaranteed sources, and what I need each month. And that gap is what we have to focus on. How are we going to fill that? And then we look at the best way to do it.
Yeah. Mind the gap, as they say in Great Britain, or about my front teeth. Mind the gap. Get Michael Strahan over here.
Yes, either one. I like it.
Yeah. Okay. So that covers that. What else do we need to look at when it comes to a successful retirement?
I think the thing that most people fail to account for is taxes. And we've got to remember, if the bulk of our money is in a traditional IRA or a 401k, a SEP IRA, we refer to all of those as qualified plans. It means simply that we got the tax deduction up front. We haven't paid any taxes yet. A good way to remember it is they are qualified to be taxed in the future. And Uncle Sam wants his share. So we think about these a little bit as these ticking tax time bombs, right? Because on paper, the balance looks good, but we can't forget the toll I have to pay to, or you have to pay to get that money out of the account and actually in your pocket. Yeah. That's taxes and could be a significant chunk. I mean, 25, 30% is usually the norm of what we calculate. And then we have to think about those pesky required minimum distributions. So even if I'm not planning to take out systematic withdrawals, if I have any of those accounts, the IRS is going to force me to start taking them as required minimum distributions or RMDs at age 73.
Wow. Taxes are serious business, right?
They are. You shared a couple of stories about some friends of yours. It reminds me, this tax conversation reminds me of a couple that I just recently worked with. He, if I remember right, he had nearly all of his savings in a SEP IRA. So he's a business owner, used that SEP to save in lieu of like a 401k. Excuse me. I remember sitting down with him and we looked at a comparison of what his tax bill was going to be if he just did nothing. Just let the account sit.
Let it run.
Started pulling out required minimum distributions, pass it on to his kids. And he was just blown away at, if we look at, if you're going to retire when you're 65, you may have 30 years of retirement. We're going to have to start taking distributions from that. We compared that to what if we didn't just let it sit and subject ourselves to whatever future tax rates are? What if we build like a partial Roth conversion strategy over a few years? We cut his tax bill down by hundreds of thousands of dollars, what he saved over that 30 years. And now he has a much more predictable income because he's already paid the taxes on it. We don't have to worry about the toll that's coming out. We don't have to worry about what if tax rates increase or rules change. He knows exactly what to expect and what's going to be in his pocket.
Yeah, and it's a great example. It's a perfect example of why planning ahead really matters and can make all the difference. Right.
Yep, absolutely. It does.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? We're almost out of time here. We should probably wrap it up. Is there anything else you want to add for our listeners, Jamie, before we go today?
Time flies when you're having fun. I think we've covered a lot. Start with defining your retirement income, getting that budget outlined, knowing what your expenses are now and how they may change. And then we want to just start small, think about ways that we can really build that momentum, maybe opportunities that we're not taking advantage of, like the frequent contributions, the dollar cost averaging, or getting the 401k match. Those are little things that are easy tweaks that could have big impact at the end. And ultimately, it's just about designing a plan that works for you. So if it's something that you're thinking, I really need some direction, I need some help here, all great tips, but I'd like somebody to create a written income plan. That's something that we do for all of our clients. You can call our office, which is 620-377-6456, or you can go to our website, which is ironhorsefinancialservices.com. Reach out to us. We're happy to have a conversation or set up a free consultation where you can come in and we can help you get started.
Perfect. Well, great show today, Jamie. I loved it. A lot of great information about really talking about retirement income, starting small, building sources of income, planning for taxes. You covered it all. So I do encourage our listeners out there to give you a call, set up that no charge, no obligation consultation. And listeners and viewers, thanks for tuning in. That does it for today's episode of Fly on the Wall Finance with our host, Jamie Malm.
We'll see you next week. Thanks, Tony. That wraps up another episode of the Fly on the Wall podcast. Join us next time as we continue the conversations and bringing you behind the scenes in the world of finance. And don't forget to stay connected with us on your favorite social media platforms and subscribe wherever you're listening to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. And we will see you next time.
All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Opinions expressed are solely those of Iron Horse Financial Services and staff. All topics covered are believed to be from reliable sources. However, Iron Horse Financial Services makes no representations as to its accuracy or completeness. This commercial shall in no way be construed as a solicitation to sell securities or advisory services to residents of any other state other than Kansas or otherwise permitted. Topics should be discussed with your financial advisor prior to implementation. Advisory services offered through Iron Horse Financial Services, a registered investment advisor in the state of Kansas. Insurance products and services are offered through Iron Horse Retirement, an affiliated company. Iron Horse Financial Services and Iron Horse Retirement are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency.